Welcome to the Deep Dive. If you're keeping tabs on Canadian immigration, especially the express entry system, you'll know late October 2024 was, well, pretty eventful.
Definitely not business as usual.
Right. So our mission today is basically to give you the strategic shortcut. We're doing a deep dive into three really important days of draws that show exactly how the system seems to be prioritizing candidates right now.
Yeah, we're looking closely at the numbers from draws 374, 375, and 376. They happened one after the other, back to back. And we also have some notes on a pretty critical policy update about applicant requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just, you know, reading out numbers. It's like looking at a map of Canada's current labor and demographic strategy playing out in, well, real time.
That's a great way to put it. And the key thing I think that we pull from these sources is just how much the government is leaning on these targeted draws now. When you line these 3 days up, well, the patterns are kind of hard to miss.
The significance is really in the sheer volatility we saw. Looking at these draws tells us who Canada seems to be focusing on, and maybe more importantly, which pathways have the, let's say, lowest barrier to entry right now.
Okay, yeah, let's definitely unpack this because the swing in the data itself is just wow. We're talking about the comprehensive rank system score, the CRS score, and it went from the really high 700s all the way down into the low 400s. And this was all within, what, a 72-hour window?
That's right, just 3 days.
So getting invited or not, during that short period, it really came down entirely to your category, not just, you know, having a generally high score.
Category was king.
Okay, so we kind of have to start at the top, right? The highest threshold. Let's zero in on draw 374. That was October 27th. This one set a bar that would probably scare off most people. What was the deal with this draw?
Right, so draw 374, that was specifically for the provincial nominee program, the PMP draw, October 27th, like you said. It only sent out 302 invitations to apply, ITAs.
Okay, pretty small.
Very small. And the CRS score needed was 761. Which is, I mean, that's an extremely high number.
Oh.
Almost untouchable for most people starting from zero.
Yeah, 761. I mean, that sounds almost impossible, right? Like you need 50 years of experience and three PhDs or something.
Well, yeah, it looks that way. But what's fascinating and really crucial for you listening to understand is the context behind that 761.
Okay.
It doesn't actually reflect the candidate's base score from just, you know, age, education, work experience alone.
Mm-hmm.
PNP scores are always inflated like this.
Always. Why?
Because getting that provincial nomination, it automatically adds 600 points to your profile. 600.
Whoa. Okay. 600 points. So hang on. If you take those 600 points off, the actual base score they needed was just 160.
Exactly. 161. That completely changes how you look at it, doesn't it?
It really does. Suddenly it's not that intimidating.
Precisely. It means the real competitive score for these candidates was actually pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
But they had that critical thing, the provincial endorsement,
mm-hmm.
that stamp of approval.
So the system isn't just about racking up points for like general skills. It's about getting a province to say, yeah, we actually need you specifically.
That's it. It's about securing that vote of confidence from a provincial government that has identified your specific skill set as valuable for their local economy.
So that 761, it's less about pure human excellence and more about bureaucratic selection for a specific need. Does that make the PNP system less merit-based then? Or just targeted differently?
I'd say differently targeted. Merit is definitely still part of it because getting that provincial nomination in the first place isn't easy. It's often quite rigorous.
Right.
So it's merit, but applied to a very specific geographic and labor market need. These candidates are highly qualified, just in a way that's already been pre-vetted by a region. They're seen as valuable to a specific place in Canada.
And that probably makes them seem like a safer bet for the federal government, too. Less risk involved.
Significantly less risk. Yeah. They've demonstrated immediate value to a specific location.
Okay, that deeper context for the 761 score is, yeah, that's vital. Now, following the timeline, like you said, things changed fast. We pivot immediately to the next two draws right afterwards, and the score is just plummeting.
The shift is, yeah, immediate and really dramatic.
So let's go to draw 375. This was the very next day, October 28th. What happened here?
Okay, draw 375. This one issued 1,000 ITAs, so a bit bigger than the PNP draw.
Right.
And the category this time was the Canadian Experience Class, or CEC, and the required CRS score, it dropped down to 533.
Okay, wow. That's a drop of, what, over 220 points? in just 24 hours?
Huge drop.
So the CEC category, people with Canadian experience, that's clearly valued. But maybe just explain quickly for anyone listening, what exactly is the Canadian experience class and why are these candidates maybe seen as a safer bet for Canada?
Yes, CEC candidates are really important because they've already proven they can integrate. They typically have at least 1 year of skilled work experience in Canada.
Okay, already here, already working.
Exactly. They're familiar with Canadian workplaces. They're already paying taxes. They generally need much less settlement support. Their value is kind of immediate and, like you said, lower risk.
Makes sense.
So that score, 533, it still shows this pool's competitive. It's a solid score, but having that practical Canadian work history gives them a big advantage.
Okay, but here's a question then. If the goal is to stabilize the workforce quickly, and these CEC folks are such a low risk, why only 1,000 invitations at 533? You know, given the labor shortages we hear about, why not drop the score even lower and invite more?
That's a really good question. And it does suggest something interesting. It suggests that while this category is a priority, maybe the government is just sort of skimming the cream of the crop.
Taking the highest scoring CEC candidates.
Perhaps. Taking those who've managed to get very high scores even within that CEC group.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for quality and proven success. Yes. But maybe they're also balancing that focus with their next and much, much more aggressive strategic target.
Okay. Setting the stage for the next big move.
Potentially, yes.
And that next target brings us right to the final draw in this three-day rush. Draw 376 on October 29th. And this is where we see, well, just the sheer scale and, critically, the lowest CRS score of the bunch.
Draw 376 was pretty extraordinary, especially in its scope. It issued a massive 6,000 ITAs. 6,000.
Whoa. Okay, that's huge compared to the other two.
Massive. And the category was French-speaking candidates. And the required CRS score, it dropped all the way down to 416.
416. Wow. Okay, let's just pause on that. That's a 345-point difference depending purely on your category over just 48 hours.
It's staggering, isn't it?
So if you happen to speak French, you were effectively 345 points more competitive than someone just sitting in the general pool waiting.
Pretty much. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, this specific targeting seems driven by a really profound political need.
Political how?
Well, issuing 6,000 invitations at such a low accessible score, that's probably not just about filling general labor gaps. It looks much more like a massive quota-filling exercise.
A quota for what?
For Francophones. The Canadian government has very specific demographic targets, mandates, really, to boost Francophone representation and ensure the vitality of French-speaking communities outside of Quebec.
Ah, okay. The official languages targets.
Exactly. This draw looks like a direct tool to meet those specific goals.
Mm.
And the volume, 6,000 invitations, that shows they're really pushing hard, aggressively trying to make up ground on that particular mandate.
So it effectively turns French language ability into like the ultimate key, the ultimate strategic asset for an applicant right now.
It really seems that way.
It signals that this specific demographic need, this language need, basically overrides almost all other general factors in the express entry calculation at this moment.
Absolutely. The government is essentially saying, look, we need these specific language skills and we need them now, even if it means bringing in candidates who might have a significantly lower base score, human capital score, than we might ask for from someone who only speaks English.
Okay. So pulling this all together, this whole three-day data set, October 27th to 29th, draws 374 to 376. What does it all mean for you, the listener, trying to figure out a path forward? We saw the high score of 761 for PNP.
Which was really 161 plus the bonus.
Right, exactly. And then the low score, 416 for French speakers. What's the big takeaway?
Well, the conclusion isn't exactly subtle, is it? Express entry is right now heavily, heavily reliant on category-based targeting.
Yeah.
That old strategy of just, maxing out your points everywhere and hoping you hit some high general score threshold, it looks increasingly, ineffective.
So it's about affiliation now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Affiliation, whether it's getting that provincial nomination, having Canadian work experience, or critically, it seems, having strong French language skills.
Yeah.
That affiliation seems to be the single biggest factor for success right now.
Yeah.
Far more than just a general high score.
And the sheer difference in the number of invitations really underlines that priority, doesn't it? Like, yeah. You said, only 302 ITAs for the very targeted PNP draw versus this enormous 6,000 ITAs for the Francophone draw. It just shows you exactly where the bulk of the opportunity is, at least in this snapshot.
It really does. If you can position yourself for a specific category, especially one tied to a major government goal like language, your odds of getting an invitation just shoot up exponentially.
It clearly maps out the government's priorities, as you said earlier, where they need thousands to hit a strategic target. Boom, the score drops dramatically, like with the French speakers.
Right. And where they need very specific, maybe niche, pre-vetted people like the PMPs, the volume is much lower, even if the headline score looks high because of those built-in bonus points.
Okay. Now, we do need to shift gears just a little bit here, because the source material we looked at also mentions something else happening around the same time. Alongside this, like, rapid-fire invitation spree, Canada's also apparently tightening some express entry rules on the compliance side.
It does create a bit of an interesting tension, yeah.
So what's the rule change?
Okay, the specific update we need to flag is that Canada is tightening express entry rules regarding medical exams. For certain applications, upfront medical exams are becoming mandatory, effective immediately.
Mandatory medicals? That seems almost counterintuitive, doesn't it? On one hand, they're hitting the accelerator, inviting 6,000 French speakers super quickly. But on the other hand, they're adding potentially more stringent mandatory checks. Why tighten up medicals right now?
Well, it does raise that important question about balancing, you know, speed versus integrity. Think about it. When the government decides to issue 6,000 invitations very quickly, like they did with the Francophone draw, they are, by definition, dipping into a much wider and potentially lower scoring pool of candidates overall. That kind of accelerated process might inherently bring a bit more risk into the applicant pool compared to, say, a smaller draw with a higher score cutoff.
Okay. So the mandatory medicals are maybe a way to manage that potential risk, a kind of safeguard.
Exactly. That's likely what it signaled. It's a clear message saying, okay, yes, we might be willing to lower the CRS bar quite a bit to meet certain demographic or labor goals.
Like the French speakers at 416.
Right. But they're saying we are absolutely not relaxing the fundamental requirements for health and security. The basic admissibility stuff.
So speed up the invites, but double check the fundamentals.
Precisely. The integrity of the whole application process has to stay strong, maybe even be reinforced, especially when you're increasing the volume and speed of invitations so dramatically. They're speeding up the front end of the invitations while making sure the back end security, health checks, compliance remains robust.
Okay, that makes the compliance piece feel much more significant then. It's not just a minor rule tweak. It means getting that invitation, that's just step one. You still need meticulous preparation for everything else.
Absolutely. Strategic entry has to go hand in hand with careful compliance. You can't trade one for the other.
Okay, so let's try to wrap this up then. Let's review the key takeaways from this deep dive. First, the wild volatility of CRS scores. It really proves success isn't just about hitting some magic high number anymore.
No, it's about aligning yourself with the current government priority category.
Right. And we saw the incredible power of that category-based selection, especially with the huge preference shown for French speakers.
Yeah, the necessity of focusing on that specific category targeting rather than just hoping for the best in the general pool. That seems to be the most critical lesson right now.
So for you listening, your time and maybe your resources should probably be focused on gaining that category affiliation, if possible, like language skills, maybe exploring provincial options.
Rather than just chasing those last few marginal CRS points from, say, another year of work experience somewhere else, the leverage seems to be in the categories.
Okay. So here's the final thought then. If French fluency is kind of the cheat code right now, the thing that opens the door with a score like 416, what's next? We've established these category-based criteria, the ones outside the usual age, education, experience points are super important. So what other categories, maybe ones we didn't even see in these three draws, might present the next big strategic opportunity for express entry applicants?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? You have to keep a very close eye on those evolving government mandates and priorities. Where will the next big push be? That's definitely something for you to think about.